Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
When it's the stepmom, she'll oftentimes say, my kids live at our home this way with this kind of discipline, these kind of morals, this spiritual life. But I send them over to my exes, and it's just the opposite, and I'm just frustrated like crazy.
Here's one of the big temptations, I think, there, is for this parent to say, okay, well, they let them do it, so maybe we lighten up, so we keep them here. And I don't think that's right at all. I think you have to maintain your influence, maintain your beliefs about truth, and teach that and be consistent with that as best you can.
If you are a stepmom, you are part of one of the most challenging groups to be a part of in the history of the world, as far as I'm concerned. And on today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, we are going to give you the tools that you need to help become a smart stepmom. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. During the next half hour, you're going to hear part one of Jim's conversation with authors Ron Deal and Laura Petherbridge. Ron, the founder and president of Smart Step Families Ministries, and Laura Petherbridge, an outstanding speaker with the divorce care movement, and also talking to stepmoms, having grown up with one and having been one herself. And right now, here's part one of their conversation on keys to becoming a smart stepmom.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, we're going to be talking about keys to becoming a smart stepmom. And by the way, if you're a stepdad, if you're a mom or a dad, grandma, grandpa, you'd be listening to this. You know, being a stepmom is quite possibly one of the most difficult roles that any family has to play. But with the proper support, you can not only survive as a stepmom, you can also thrive. And we have two wonderful guests today. Ron Deal is with us, and Laura Petherbridge. Ron is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and he is also the author of many helpful books. He's kind of my go-to guy on step families. He wrote a great book called The Smart Step Family, Seven Steps to a Healthy Step Family. He lives in Amarillo, Texas with his wife, Nan, and their family. Laura is a noted speaker, educator on the subject of divorce recovery, has been a guest on the Homeward program, a great guest, by the way, has written several things, articles. One of the books I remember is When I Do Becomes I Don't. Lives in Lady Lake, Florida with her husband, Steve. Welcome both of you to our program today.
Thank you.
It is always an honor to be on this program. Thanks.
Well, great to be with you. And I've actually been looking forward to this because so many of the people on our Homeward broadcast need this message in many ways. Now, Ron, I said this at the beginning, but oftentimes I look at you as the step family expert. Yet you share something that actually scared me. You said that a second marriage actually has a higher divorce rate. I want you to unpack that for me.
Yeah, the divorce rate for remarried couples with children from previous relationships is around 2/3. A third marriage, it's about 71%, according to the a recent U.S. Census report. And so it's significantly higher than a first marriage situation. And really, that's because of the complexity that goes along with the marriage and the children and everything that comes along with that.
Right. You know, use the word complexity, and it really does make it much more complex, mm-hmm. You know, doesn't it? And you had complexity, Laura, just even growing up. I mean, you've been a stepmom for 25 years. You also grew up with two stepmothers of your own.
That's correct.
Talk about that complexity in your own life.
Well, it is. You know, my parents divorced when I was 8 years old, and my dad remarried when I was about 14, the first time he remarried, and then he remarried again when I was in my 20s, late 20s. So I'm not only a stepmom, but I've had two stepmothers. So the bad thing about that is that when I became a stepmother, I assumed that having two stepmothers, that would totally prepare me for being a stepmother, and boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, isn't that
it's much more complicated than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Complicated, but if you do the right stuff and you kind of live with the right priorities, it can become successful, is what I'm also hearing, at least from the book that you wrote. It's called The Smart Step Mom, called Practical Steps on How to Thrive in the Middle of This. And really, you can thrive if you do the right things. One of the things you had at the very beginning of your book that interested me is you had something called How to Cook a Step Family. I want you to take us through a little bit of that procedure.
Well, you know, most people want to throw their step family into a blender.
Right.
You know, they take the ingredients of their home And that's the two adults and the children. At least that's what they think, that, you know, it's limited to that. But really, it includes ex-wives and ex-husbands and all the other characters. But, you know, blenders basically try to take all the ingredients and whip them into one fluid mixture in a hurry. And when families try to do that, they do things, Jim, like, you know, a stepmom would say to her stepchildren, "Hey, I know I'm not your mom, but why don't you just call me mom?" And there's nothing wrong with that heart. There's nothing wrong with the desire. I always make a very strong distinction between, hey, the heart there is good. The intent is good. But the strategy of trying to force relationship, basically the hope is, hey, if you call me mom, you'll feel like I'm your mom. We'll all get along. Everybody will be happy. We'll have peace in the home. Well, that's a great desire. But the strategy of trying to force that on kids generally tends to create resistance from them. And now you've just slowed down the cooking, if you will, the developing relationships. And so what we propose to people instead is, and this is really one of the centerpieces of our ministry at Successful Step Families, is teaching people how to cook their family in a crock pot. You know, you put all the ingredients in the crock pot. It's called a wedding. You put it on low and you walk away. And at that point, time takes over. Crockpots work on time, and they work very, very slowly. And step families can develop. They will develop. They will get there, but it takes time for those relationships to grow. And you just can't push time. You can't force it. Let me tell you something. I had a chef one time come to one of my conferences, and he came up to me at a break, and he said, "Ron, I was listening to you talk about crockpots." He said, "That's exactly right." He said, "Do you realize you can't fool food?" And I looked at him, and I said, "What in the world does that mean? I have no idea what you're talking about." And he said, "Well, you can't make a carrot cook any faster than it's going to cook. And neither can you take a 12-year-old carrot and force them into a relationship. You have to work with it. You have to mold it. You have to shape it. You have to take what they give you and do the best you can. And over a period of time, relationships develop."
Yeah, it's a great reminder. I loved it. In fact, I circled that, and I was actually in bed reading, and I said, I shared that with my wife, that, you know, kind of the story of the crock pot. And I said, this just makes sense. And yet, I think people think it's going to happen so much quicker.
Well, and it's rooted in their hope. You know, they just really want things to come together quickly. And obviously, the couple has. But what we want people to understand is that it's easier to be a couple than it is to be a family. And the process of developing the right. family relationship, right. especially for stepmothers, right. is more difficult than they anticipate, and they have to learn how to be patient and go with what they have.
And you know, something that I just read recently that said 25% of remarrying couples actually acknowledge that their children do not have a positive attitude toward their impending marriage. That you can't just change that automatically because somebody said I do.
Right, exactly. Samuel Jackson said 200 years ago that remarriage is the triumph of hope over experience. Well, that's for the adults. You know, hope wins out over their experience. But for the children, what they want, generally speaking, is for things to be as they were. And so moving into new territory, new relationships, they just move at a slower pace. Carrots cook slower than potatoes sometimes.
Yeah, I've tried to do that too. My wife doesn't let me cook because of that reason, I'm telling you right now. You know, Laura, you said that there were times in your second marriage when you felt like running away from home. I want you to talk about this hope over experience, because hope kind of kept you through this. And is it possible to have hope in the midst of literally, you know, kind of really struggling with those relationships?
Well, I think the first issue that a stepmom has to tackle is that she went into the marriage thinking, so many stepmoms that I meet at my workshops and over email tell me that they thought that the husband and his children and the ex-wife would sort of have their own relationship, you know, it would sort of be, okay, these are your kids and this was your former life. And so when you got remarried, now you have a new life and my life won't really be affected a lot. You know, you and those children can go ahead and still have that relationship, but our marriage and our relationship will sort of be over here on this other side. And a lot of women go into a second marriage thinking that the children from the former marriage and the former wife, or even if the wife is deceased, you know, the memories and images from that former life are not really going to play a significant role in the new marriage, in their new life. And that is just dead wrong. You couldn't be more wrong about that. So I know I did that. I thought, oh, you know, it's great. You've got kids. You have that wonderful relationship with them, and it's not going to really affect my life that much. And once you're in the marriage and in, you know, really into this completely, you realize that was just faulty thinking and that it affects almost every area of your life, your finances, your emotions, your marital relationship, you know, it affects everything. And so the part of the healing and the process for the stepmom is recognizing that you had faulty thinking to begin with, that this was just going to be an easy transition and that the kids really weren't going to be that big of a part of your marriage. So that's where some of that hope and transition come from, is by acknowledging, I just didn't prepare for this enough. I wasn't. And again, that's where I say, even as having two stepmoms myself, I thought that would have prepared me or would have taught me about what stepkids need. And, you know, it really didn't, because partially because I was a child myself. Mm. It's taking that first step to recognize you had some faulty thinking to begin with.
Great, great reminder. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about money. I want to talk about stepdad. I want to talk about disengaged fathers. And I also want to spend a little bit of time talking about discipline. We'll be right back. Today we have Ron Deal with us, Laura Petherbridge. We're talking about a great new book of theirs called The Smart Stepmom, Keys to Becoming a Better Stepmom. Don't go away. More to come on Homeward. Here's Roger.
Thank you, Jim. So good to be with you today here on this program as we talk about keys to becoming a smart stepmom. And as the number of kids growing up in blended families because of divorce and remarriage, or sometimes a widow or widower will remarry and there's blended family issues involved there too. We at Homeward want to be proactive in helping you in your blended family situation. The census data tells us that only 25% of American households now are mom and dad who got married, started their family, and are still together. There are fractures all over the place, and yet there's healing for those fractures, and very practical ones at that. Dr. Jim Burns recommends any of the books that Ron Deal has written, whether it's Successful Step Families or Becoming a Smart Stepdad, or today we're talking about Becoming a Smart Stepmom. If you are in a blended family situation, or you know someone who is, and you're looking for information on how you can be smarter, be more successful, and make that blended family blend better, we encourage you to visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. You will find a lot of material there. And we make most of the material on our website available without cost or further obligation. There are a few things you can pay for, but a lot of it is free. Check us out if you haven't browsed us recently at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
But Ashley is your sister now, Kaylee.
You mean she's my stepsister, Dad. She's not my real sister.
Okay, you're right.
Dad, I know Kim's your wife now, and I'm glad you guys got married, but Ashley is such a brat.
I know it must seem like she gets away with murder at times, honey.
It's not fair, Dad.
Look, I know, and I'll make it up to you somehow, I promise. You know there's always a way to balance the scales, if you know what I mean.
I realize this may sound obvious, but dealing with a blended family is never easy. And here's something else that's not exactly a revelation. Even if your circumstances never change, your attitude can change, and that makes a difference. If you're in a blended family situation, remember that your own children will often feel a certain animosity toward their step-siblings. I mean, that's perfectly normal. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Helping Blended Families Blend Better, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, encouraging parents, building families. Welcome back. Ron Deal, Laura Petherbridge with us today. We're talking about the smart stepmom. Interesting enough, 28 to 30 million stepmoms, and yet this is the only book we can find that has a Christian input that's on being a stepmom. Ron, as I do parenting seminars, it's the stepmoms who come up to me afterwards, and they stand in line, and they just talk and talk about this. I mean, 28 to 30 million.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Laura talks quite a bit about how stepmothers really do feel isolated. They really do feel alone, and they pick up good materials that are meant for other family members or different types of families, and they set out to try to apply them and then discover that some of it just doesn't work for them. And this book and this effort is really specifically aimed at helping her to understand what is going on around her, to understand her own feelings and emotions, and help her to know right. that she's not alone.
Right.
There really are some answers, and she can learn how to cope.
Right. Well, you know, Ron and Laura, both, I'd love for you to step in on this, because this is probably the number one thing that people will come to me and ask me about when it's the stepmom. She'll oftentimes be a Christian, and she'll say, my kids live at our home this way with this kind of discipline, these kind of morals, this spiritual life, but I send them over to my ex's and it's just the opposite and I'm just frustrated like crazy. I know there's no easy answer to that, but what do you say to these people?
Well, it's true. The parenting in one home can be very different than it is in the other home. And that creates all kinds of faith training challenges and just practical life challenges. One of the things that I want people to understand is that they need to try to parent in their home the way they feel is best, and that they should try to do that. Now, they want to try to cooperate with the other home as to whatever degree that they can. And sometimes you just don't agree on bedtime for Johnny, okay? And you know what? That's probably not going to shatter his life if they send him to bed an hour later over there. However, there's other things that are going to be different that are
pornography on the internet.
Extremely
like that.
Frustrating.
Sure.
Yeah, letting kids go watch movies that you wouldn't let
right.
them watch.
Right.
And kids will learn how to take advantage of that, and they'll play one home off the other, and it certainly creates a lot of struggles and difficulties. That does not mean, and here's one of the big temptations I think there, is for this parent to say, okay, well, they let them do it, so maybe we lighten up, so we keep them here. And I don't think that's right at all. I think you have to maintain your influence, maintain your beliefs about truth, and teach that and be consistent with that as best you can.
Right. Let's talk about discipline. A lot of times I'll find that a stepmom will have problems with discipline because they say, well, you're not my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And yet dad is kind of a little bit even disengaged because he feels shame and guilt from the previous relationship or whatever it may be. So he's not really coming down on him. And so this kid is kind of running wild. What do you say to the stepmom who says, I'm not getting any respect here, and yet my husband's kind of expecting me to do it, and I'm the stepmom?
One of the greatest lessons that I learned finally in the process of being a stepmom that I finally got to was that it's not my job to fix his children.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And this was huge because I'm a fixer by nature. When you look up the word codependent in the dictionary, my picture is there. And so, I just want to heal and fix everybody. And I wanted his kids to just be passionately in love with God. And so, I was just going to be wonderful at teaching them all of this. And I had to learn the things that I did have control over or that I did have some influence over. And by much prayer, I had to really say, Lord, show me which things I do have some influence over in their life, and what things do I have to let go of that are not my job. And even when my husband did not step up to the plate and do the things that maybe he should have done as a dad in the area of discipline or guiding them in one thing or another. For instance, when they were younger, I tried to get them to eat healthy, and that wasn't my job. When they were in my home, yes, if I prepared healthy foods, okay, but that was not a hill to die on. And I was making that a hill to die on. You are going to eat healthy. Well, in the scope of things, it really was not. I created a battle where I should not have. And so one of my biggest lessons was learning the things that if my husband doesn't follow through on that, then he's answerable to God for that. I am not.
Jim, Laura said two things there that are extremely important, and we could just spend a lot of time unpacking them, but let me just highlight them again. Number one, she can't do it without him. The biological father is absolutely critical to whether or not a stepmother is successful, because if he doesn't back her up, if he doesn't make the kids follow through, if he doesn't, if he lets off on consequences, if he doesn't support her in her role, she can't be a mother figure. Laura and I believe in this so much that right smack in the middle of this book for stepmothers, there are two chapters for dad. And they start with, she can't do it without you. And we just invite these women to then share that. And that's all he's got to read, is just that little section. But it reminds him of how important and how critical his role is in order for her to be successful. The other thing Laura said there that I want to highlight is that it is a stepmother's heart to heal and to fix and to try to be the emotional centerpiece in a home. I think that's what women are gifted to do. And oftentimes they take that role very, very seriously. Well, when a stepmother comes in and tries to do that, when she tries to be the one who brings people together, who connects people who don't get along, who brings healing to the family, and then she doesn't have the authority or the respect enough to make that happen. She doesn't have the power to make that happen. It's an extremely frustrating place to be. And that's where a lot of stepmoms really are reaching out and they're saying, I don't know what to do. Am I a failure? And that's one of the stepmothers, they guilt themselves into thinking that it's all their fault and they're doing something wrong. And she can take her responsibility for it, but a lot of this really falls into the lap of her husband.
Yeah, and that's important to communicate with, because a lot of times the husband and the wife aren't communicating. In fact, I think I read in your book that oftentimes they don't agree on discipline themselves, mm-hmm. 50% at least of times.
Yeah.
So they've got some work to do as a couple.
That's right.
And they're trying to bring their marriages together. They're bringing their exes. What did you call it? You called ex-wife-in-law. I mean, so there's all these other deals. And so they really do have to communicate well.
You know, parenting is a team sport.
Right.
It is more of a team sport in a step-family right. experience. A stepmother and the biological dad have to be more of a team. You know, it's interesting to me. You pick up a book on mothers or a book on parenting, a book on fathers, and it kind of talks to dads and moms as if they could be the only person in the room. And it really doesn't matter what your other spouse thinks. But you can't do that when it comes to a right. stepmother. She has to work in concert with her husband.
Very good. Very, very, very important. You know, you both have said that a step-family dynamic, you know, definitely is complicated. But I want you to take some of the final moments of this program, and then we'll ask you to come back because we've got so much more to talk about. But really on some hope, some safeguards for a remarriage to work and for the step-family to somehow come together. Give us some hope.
Well, for me, I can say that I had to get to a point of where when I did accept that this was not my job to fix his kids or to you know, be the things in their life that I was not going to be able to be, that I then just asked the Lord to teach me how to love them as he loves them and as how he would have me to love them. Because there were times when I didn't love his kids. There were times I didn't like his kids.
Right.
There were times I wished that their mom would move them, you know, away because it caused tension in our marriage and in our home.
You said you wanted to run away.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I don't mean that in a cruel or critical way. It was just like, okay, can we make this problem go away? And so I had to get to a place of where I just started to pray, Lord, teach me how to love them in the way that would be most beneficial in their lives. And that was a huge step because I started to see them through his eyes instead of through my own eyes or through their actions or if they did something, you know, that I didn't approve of. I was raised in a very, very strict home. So I brought all of that discipline, thinking about how children should be disciplined from my own upbringing into this marriage. And that was not the way my husband and his former wife, you know, thought of discipline. So I had to just totally go to the Lord with that and say, I need the mind of Christ. I need to be able to think exactly like you do about these children. And he did. He taught me how to love them. And now I have grandkids that I love just as much. So it can be done.
We've already said work in concert with your husband. That's a big one to give stepmoms hope. But the other one Laura and I are passionate about is breaking the isolation. Stepmoms don't have to do this alone. In fact, we've included discussion questions in this book. We really encourage women to find other women and get together and read and talk and do a book club with this and find community with other people. And what you'll find is that you're not the only one. And it's not all about you. And there are some things you can learn from other women and encourage one another. That community is so important.
And I want to reinforce that, Ron. It's so important. And I just want to speak to anybody who is listening today. Don't do this alone. We weren't meant to do life alone. We're meant to do life in community. And if you are a stepmom and if you are struggling, and so many stepmoms do, then I want to suggest the book, The Smart Stepmom. It's actually a very hopeful book. It's very practical. And actually, I learned a lot by reading this book by two of, I think, America's great experts on this subject. Ron, Laura, thank you so much. Great, great material. You got to come back. We got to talk about it next time.
We'll do it.
Great.
Thank you.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Ron Deal and Laura Petherbridge here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about keys to becoming a smart stepmom, and Ron and Laura, the co-authors of the book, The Smart Stepmom, it's a book that we recommend. You'll hear Dr. Jim Burns recommending that book often, even if that isn't our topic of conversation, because helping blended families blend better is a key component of the ministry here at Homeward, and that's why we have so many resources available to you at homeward.com. Check out the articles and media section where you'll find a lot of free tip sheets. Just type in step families or blended families, stepmom, stepdad in the key search, and you will find those articles and tip sheets. You can also start receiving our Good Advice Parent newsletter, which comes your way each and every month. It's absolutely free. Our daily online devotional for a source, a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. That's free. Comes your way every Monday through Friday, and it only takes a couple minutes to work through. But if you're looking for some encouragement there to get your day off to a good start with the Word heard some encouragement from Jim and a scripture verse to take with you throughout the day. That's a good nugget to have along with you, too. So Good Advice Parent Newsletter, free at homeward.com. Daily Online Devotional, free at homeward.com. Articles and tip sheets, free at homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.